A very good afternoon to all brothers and sisters in the Dhamma. Today is the 11th of August 2024, Sunday class. As usual, we will be continuing with the Heart Sutta sharing, and we are at lesson 9, page 58. We will go back a little bit because early on we actually completed page 58, we are on page 59. But I feel that the page 58, the three type of karmic obstacle or karmic, what they call understanding, are very important. That's why I want to go through it one more time so that more people can understand. But this is a topic which is not easy to understand. So when you understand this, you will know why life is like that. Why, if you don't have the Dhamma understanding to take care of karma, all these three karmic obstacles, they are very real. And they can really cause suffering or affliction to living beings. Okay, so as usual, we will have our puja chanting. Let us compose our mind, develop the faith, sadha, virya, then mindfully we shall commence the puja chanting. Namo Bhagavan Sisya Moni Pho. Namo Bhagavan Sisya Moni Pho. Namo Bhagavan Sisya Moni Pho. Namo Guanxin Pusa. Namo Guanxin Pusa. Namo Guanxin Pusa. Namo Amitabha. Namo Amitabha. Namo Amitabha. Namo Milafo. Namo Milafo. Namo Milafo. Namo Yao Si Fo. Namo Yao Si Fo. Namo Yao Si Fo. Namo Pusien Pusa. Namo Pusien Pusa. Namo Pusien Pusa. Namo Dizawang Pusa. Namo Dizawang Pusa. Namo Dizawang Pusa. Namo Fo Pusa. Namo Fo Pusa. Namo Fo Pusa. Arahang sama sambuddho bhagava buddhang bhagavantang abhivademi. Swakato bhagavata dhammo dhammang namasami. Supatipanno bhagavato sāvaka saṅgho saṅghaṃ namāmi. Namo attassa bhagavato arahato sammā sambuddhassa. Namo attassa bhagavato arahato sama sambuddhassa. Namo attassa bhagavato arahato sama sambuddhassa. Buddhang saranang gacchami. Dhammang saranang gacchami. Sanghang saranang gacchami. Dutiyampi buddhang saranang gacchami. Dutiyampi dhammang saranang gacchami. Dutiyampi sanghang saranang gacchami. Tatiyampi buddhang saranang gacchami. Tatiyampi dhammang saranang gacchami. Tatiyampi sanghang saranang gacchami. Panati pata viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Adina dana viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Kamesu micchacara viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Musavada viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Surameraya majapamadatana เวรมณีสิกขาปะทังสมาธิยามิสาธุสาธุสาธุโอเค let's pay respect tripajan บุตังปุเชมิดัมมังปุเชมิสังฆังปุเชมิ invocation to devas in this universe in the entirety let the deities or devas come hereLet them hear the good teachings of the King of Sages, which gives heaven and release, Nibbana. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching. Samanta Chakawalisu Atra Gajantu DevataSaddhammang Munirajasa Sunantu Sakamokkhadang Dhamma Savanankalo Ayang Badanta Dhamma Savanankalo Ayang Badanta Dhamma Savanankalo Ayang Badanta Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhassa Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhassa Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Samma SambuddhassaItti peso bhagava arahang sama sambuddho Vijja charana sampanno sugato lokavido Anuttaro purisa dhamma sarati Satta deva manusanang buddho bhagavati Suakato bhagavata dhammo Sanditiko akaliko Ehipaseko opanaiko Pachyatang veditabbo Vinohiti Supatipanno bhagavato sakkasangho Ujjupatipanno bhagavato sakkasangho Nyayapatipanno bhagavato sakkasangho Samichipatipanno bhagavato sakkasangho Yadidam chattari purisa yukkhani Atta purisa pugala Esa bhagavato sakkasangho Ahuneyo pahuneyo Dakkineyo anjali karaneyo Anuttarang punyang ketang lokasati Sadhu SadhuSadhu. Okay, we shall now continue from where we stop. Page 58 of the Heart Sutta book. Like I explained just now, we will go through the past sharing on the karmic obstacle, the three type of major main karmic obstacle that living being need to understand so that they can overcome them. So this topic is seldom understood by most cultivators of the way, especially Buddhist practitioners. So in order to have an in-depth understanding of this topic, I will make use of this second review to go in deeper so that cultivate all the way and develop clear, important, deep understanding of this topic so that you can take care of your life, so that you can make use of this understanding to help yourself and help others. So 2.1, the three type of karmic obstacles. So here under the sharing by Master Xianhua, I mention here, I say, be aware of the three type of obstacle. And according to Master Xianhua, he explained this very well. He said, the purpose of the Heart Sutta is eradication. Eradication of this karmic obstacle. So eradication is what the Heart Sutta is capable of doing. That's why when you have penetrated true emptiness, which is the highest wisdom taught by Heart Sutta, then you can develop the understanding to eradicate all the karmic obstruction. That is, doing away with the three types of karmic obstacle. The first type is retribution obstacle, like the word retribution. Whatever you do from the distant past until now, it will come back and haunt you. And the one that has the most appropriate condition to manifest at the time of birth, it will be the one with the what they call primary characteristics to condition that type of retributive karma. Then apart from retributive karma, or we call the retribution obstacle, we also have activity obstacle. Activity means the thing we do when we are born into this existential world. Our relationship with people, with the environment, with nature, with everything. Including our career, who our neighbor is, who our parents are, our siblings, our whatever close friend. Then finally is the affliction obstacle, where it will afflict you when you come to this existential world. Where these are the karmic affliction that you have to pay back. They are the heavy karma or the heavy karmic affliction that you have to confront. And without the Dhamma wisdom, you will get into trouble. Then the most important thing about karma is the fifth daily contemplation. The Buddha advised the monk and the devotee, cultivator of the way, to every day contemplate these five daily contemplation. And the first four, they are related to the first noble truth, eight reality. The Buddha said, this body of ours is of the nature to grow old, get sick, and finally die. For it has not gone beyond old age, sickness, and death. So this one is related to the first noble truth, reality of birth, old age, sickness, and death. So when you confront them without this understanding, you will be afflicted. But since the Buddha developed such understanding and wisdom, he can advise us to the first three contemplation that this physical body of ours is not a permanent unchanging entity, is not a real entity of you, is not something that you can cling on to, grasp on to and say, this is me, this is I. Therefore, this physical body of mine is what I am. If you hold on to that delusion, that wrong view, then what happens is you will have big problem. Because you will have a situation where you worry about this physical body, which goes the way of nature. It has to confront old age, sickness and death. And you got no answer to it. But this is a reality of the physical form. They are made of four elements, not a permanent unchanging entity. They go the way of nature. They are of the nature to decay, to grow old, get sick, be injured, and finally, they have to die when consciousness separates. So all these are realities. Nature's law, you cannot go against. So when you contemplate, then when you confront old age, sickness and death, or even birth, you will understand very clearly. With birth comes old age, sickness and death. And these are reality that each and every living being who live long enough had to go through and confront. There is no exception. So don't be miserable when you confront them. You have to understand these are realities of life and existence. Everybody who live long enough will have to confront them. Then when you confront them with understanding, then you don't have to suffer. Like the Buddha realized underneath the Bodhi tree when he became enlightened. He realized this body, physical body, made out of only the four elements, is not a permanent unchanging entity. Hence, not him, not I, not me. That's why there is no more sakyadity. And this one goes the way of nature. That's why he said you contemplate. It's of the nature to grow old, get sick or injured, and finally die. For it has not gone beyond all this. Where this is just a physical form. No knowing elements. Then number four is separation. Separation from your loved ones. Separation from your prized possession, your reputation, your property, the thing that you hold on to dearly. Yeah. This is a reality. It will separate from you one day, yeah, when conditions cease to be, or when your entity cease to be, yeah, when your breath stops, when the form and mind cease to be, means your entity erased, and they say you die. But if you understand no one died, nothing died, then you are free. Well, all these are dependent origination, condition arising entity. Well, we live in a world of condition arising world. Means the condition world follows the nature's law that governs life and existence. It has its conditioned Dhamma. That's why the Diamond Sutta actually proclaim it clearly. Each year you wave are. Means within this conditioned world, everything is conditioned Dhamma. Dependent originating, condition arising, causal phenomena. Not a permanent unchanging entity. No reality. He no you. He no me. There is no such thing as a permanent unchanging entity. And whatever thing you think you own, you can have, possess, cling, hold on to, and try to own it forever, is a delusion. It's a fallacy. Then when you see clearly the reality of separation, then you will have to contemplate every day, you see. Like the Buddha said, my loved one, my prized possession, the things that I hold on to dearly, my whatever, reputation, property, wealth, everything, they are only mine for the moment when condition is there for me to own them, for the form of mind to own them. But when condition cease to be, they cease to be. Or when my breath stops, the entity erased. This entity cannot own anything. So separation is a reality. So when separation arises, it living being without the Dhamma will suffer. So this first noble truth reality understanding is very important. Then we need to contemplate in what way separation can occur. Like I explained. Your loved one can separate from you when they die, or when there is disaster, calamity, nature's calamity, even traumatic disease, accident. Then sometimes it's earthquake, tsunami, war, riots, or whatever that can bring about separation. Then when it comes to property, well, when the thing we own, our prized possession or whatever, it can be due to a wrong decision that you make in life. You may lose them all, like the stock market, the equity market. Even nowadays, a lot of crypto and Bitcoin type of investment, together with a lot of bond or whatever investment. When currency crisis hit, all your investment may be wiped off when you are not careful, when you cannot understand the reality, and when you make a wrong call, when you place a very heavy bet. So all this can trigger off separation. Then from being a billionaire or a very wealthy business owner or businessman, or even successful businessman, overnight, because of crisis, you can lose them all. And sometimes you leverage until you end up not only losing all, owing the bank a lot more. Then sometimes due to circumstances like previously the Iraq-Kuwaiti war, overnight, Iraq attacked Kuwait, take over the country, including the central bank. The Kuwaiti all lost their wealth. The central bank also, all the reserve, everything also gone. So these are the reality. One moment you may own, the next moment you no longer own. It's just like the word, now you see, now you don't. Now you own, the next moment you don't. So these are realities. So separation, you have to contemplate very clearly. When causes and conditions no more, it will separate from you. Death can occur, separation can occur. Then sometimes separation can also mean relationship failure. They don't want to continue with the relationship, to be husband and wife, to be girlfriend and boyfriend. So when they make the decision, it can lead to separation, and it can be very traumatic. Then sometimes due to war or forced separation, your children, your sibling, your parent can be separated from you because of poverty or other reasons or circumstances, especially during war, during tsunami, during crisis time. So all these are the reality. But the fifth contemplation is one of the most important ones. Under the fifth contemplation, the Buddha said, we are all humanity as one, whether human being or non-human. We are all born of our karma, heir to our karma, conditioned and supported by our karma. We are what we are because of your karma. That's why, because of that, whatever happened to you, definitely it has a lot to do with karma. Where we are born of it, heir to it, conditions, whatever, and we are what we are because of it. So if you don't know how to take care of karma, we are following the advice of the Buddha to avoid all evil, do good, and purify your mind, which is the cultivation of the Dhamma practice. You will be afflicted. Then when you are afflicted, you cannot blame the world. You cannot blame even the so-called image of God that you created. Because these are nature's law, nature's occurrences. These are reality that every living being is subject to. So when you understand this, then you see the importance of karma. You see the importance of taking care of karma, avoiding all evil to good, and purifying the mind. But how to avoid all evil? How to avoid all this? That's why the Buddha gave basic understanding. He said, those who break the five precepts, it constitute major evil. So when you keep the minimum five precepts, you started the cultivation by avoiding all evil, major evil. If you can avoid that, your karma will improve a lot. But whatever that has happened in the past, you cannot do away with it. You cannot erase it. They are there, some for eternity. It never gets deleted. But when you have wisdom and understanding, when it fails to afflict you, then you can actually transcend it, overcome it. So to transcend and overcome it is what the Heart Sutta is capable of. That's why Shenhua say, eradication is what Heart Sutta is capable of. Eradicate what? The three karmic obstacles that haunt living being. Okay, now we go back to the note, then you will understand. What are the three? The first one is retribution obstacle. So this one, I have summarized it for you, but now I will explain it in more detail. The first karmic obstacle that living beings need to understand and develop the wisdom to overcome is retribution obstacle. And basically, according to Shenhua, there are two types. His classification is very good. I fully agree with him. So the first type is primary retribution obstacle. This one, there is nothing you can do. Because it implies karmically conditioned physical body. Like the type of DNA coding that come with it. And also the physical appearances, etc. If you don't have the parami like the Buddha or what, there will be no major 32 hallmark or the minor characteristics. Then whether you are born handsome, not handsome, beautiful, ugly or what, it follow your karmic imprint from the past. And when that existence fall into place, then all the karmic conditioning that is very, what they call, prominent, very critical, they will manifest. Like the DNA, all those things. You do a lot of killing. You cause people a lot of suffering. And you are involved in livelihood that bring about a lot of suffering to living beings via disease or whatever. Then your DNA coding will have a lot of this tendency to have what they call cancer marker cell that can lead to mutation. Then when there is condition for you to go through life in a very stressful way or what, this will actually generate the so-called critical disease or they call a very traumatic type of disease. And it can trigger off a lot of suffering when you afflict living being. Then your DNA can be many versions, because DNA, I have to give you some example. Just how the capable of have cancer or this thing is one type. Then the other one is whether your physical appearance and all those things, whether your build, whether you are a good athlete or not, is another one. But there can be other type of DNA coding where you become like a prodigal. Prodigal means gifted, talented, and you are very good in certain fields. It's because from your past, you inherit. Then sometimes people make aspiration, aditan. And all this coding, they will come. But you do a lot of nonsense, all of the primary retribution, karmic, what they call characteristic, will haunt you. They will follow you. So you cannot blame God or your parent for having this type of DNA. Why my parent passed me this? It's not why. It's your coming inheritance. You are born of your karma, heir to your karma, condition is whatever. You are what you are before. So when it comes to primary retribution, you cannot blame anybody. Because you don't have a choice. Karmically conditioned out. That's why take care of karma. What you do will condition you. That's why this life, I look back, I have very good DNA and body. I go and do the allergy test. All negative except the control sample positive. The doctor told me, oh, you are very good. I said, doctor, still got one positive. Hey, that is a control sample. He said, if that one also negative, means you must have taken antihistamine or what? He said, doesn't count anymore. Your test. But the control sample shows that you didn't take any medication, and yet there is nothing that can like trigger off allergy, which means in this life, every portion, I can eat anything. Yeah. So it is your karma. It's what you carry and inherit. Yeah. And of course, how you choose your birth, who your parents are, and under what environment and condition. All these are karmic imprint, which you have no decision. That's why primary retribution is like that. You take care of karma, you come. You are beautiful. Whatever that you aspire for or you wish for, they can be fulfilled when you have the understanding. But if you commit a lot of nonsense, negativity of karma, you are very heedless. Your primary retribution, the DNA coding, you cannot blame anybody. It will follow you and it will haunt you. Yeah. Then sometimes your physical appearance doesn't mean you got good one. Yeah. It is going to give you a good life. Sometimes it can backfire, anasana. You are too pretty or too handsome, you get into a lot of what they call repercussive effect of that. Yes, you don't have the Dhamma to protect you. But you have both. Then your appearances are like the Buddha, the 32 major hallmark or characteristics. Then that one will be imprinted and it will show up. Then with the wisdom, you become Sammasambuddha. Very beautiful. So that part, hopefully by now, you can understand. Primary retribution. The other one is dependent retribution. At this part, I need to talk about it more. Retribution obstacle has two types. Primary retribution, I already explained, DNA, physical appearance, everything. But dependent retribution means when you come to this existential world, it implies karmically conditioned living condition. Understand not? Means like your materialistic inheritance, whether you are born in a poor family or a rich family, and where you are born, you don't have a choice. Because it is dependent retribution. But then I did mention here, who you marry to, you do have a choice. But if you don't have the Dhamma, you are not aware, not heedful, you also, although you think you have a choice, but you will choose based on karmic conditioning. Then the one you marry is either come to demand karmic debt or support you and be your beautiful and understanding life partner. So all these are coded in the karmic process. Then the other thing about this living condition retribution is when you are what they call born into this world. Yeah, this dependent retribution, sometimes the condition may not be so conducive, but because of your good karma, you end up you become like very blessed. Well, I have a classmate. That is a real happening. They cannot have child. So they were looking for a child to adopt. And they cannot find. So finally they were told that there is a lady who actually out of some problem, and she don't want to conceive that baby because maybe rape or what, I don't know. Yeah. Then this child, if he born by that mother, is supposed to be terrible. Because this mother is like a foreign maid or what. Then got no backing, nothing. But then, because of the good karma, they heard about it, then they go and have a look. Then they want to adopt. And it was officially adopted. Properly done with all the paper. That because my this classmate is an engineer, able to afford all this. So that kid become like blessed, good life. That's why I say, materialistic inheritance and where you are born into, whether poor or rich family, you have no choice. Because it is this dependent retribution, coded already. But if you have the good karma, you can turn around, like that case. You can be adopted. Then there are a lot of stories about orphanage children, you know? You heard of? Yeah? Even in the movies, you can see them. Suddenly adopted by a very wealthy family, and they become very successful. So all this dependent retribution, you cannot say, "Ayo, my past come out very bad." Then you born into a family which is poor or what. Not necessary. Sometimes from poor family, you can also come out and become very special. So, in Mandarin they say, 不要认命, means, don't surrender to this dependent retribution. Because when you have the will, you have a way. And if you are sincere, you have your past coming inheritance, which are very good, they will come for and actually help you and turn everything around. So this dependent retribution, don't worry. Yeah. Like my case, I was born into an average family, yeah? Although in that small town, my parents were relatively successful and I don't have problem. My siblings all don't have problem with the basic need, even education. But then, from a small town where hardly anybody came out, I excel in my academic studies. Then I went to a good school, good university. Then I excel in life. So it's not that once the dependent retribution already fixed you, you are destined already. No. But most of the case is, if you are born in to a family that is more wealthy, you have better support system, means inheritance-wise, the what they call like the support from your parents or what your inheritance. Or this one will give you a head start in life. But if you don't have the Dhamma understanding and coming, it may also backfire and cause you problem. So if you have both, then it's different. That's why those wealthy ones, they every time donate and all those things. Whenever they are born, they always born into a rich family, wealthy family. Then whatever they do, even when they are born into an average family, they become very successful. So all this is what karma is all about. And you cannot comprehend unless you are a cultivator of the way. You take the Bodhisattva way and you have gone through long period of cultivation and understand all of the karmic evolution of the living beings. Otherwise, you cannot comprehend all this. Then the next one we have to go to is activity obstacle. This one is more interesting. This one I have to elaborate more now. Activity obstacle means it implies karmically conditioned livelihood obstacle. Means when you live your life, like when you are working, your career, your siblings, your neighbor, your parents, your friends, or whatever. Yeah. So these are the karmically conditioned living condition, means livelihood obstacle. Like you have a lot of karmic obstruction or obstacle while working and living your life. Means you confront bosses that are very difficult. nasty only. Well, you reap what you sow. Last time, past life, when you become bosses, you're very lancy and do all those nonsense to people. That's why this life you come, you cannot blame people. Say, why all my bosses like that one? One of a kind. Then why so people so lucky, so blessed? The bosses all very good. And they don't have stress, don't have suffering. It's because of your past karmic inheritance, activity obstacle. Even your mate, your neighbor. If you have been good neighbor, you will have good neighbor. If you have been a one of a kind type of neighbor or employer with the mate, when you end up as a victim, you become mate and you get a one kind of an employer that will harass you and create a lot of suffering and problems. So this is what activity obstacle is. That as a mother-in-law, you simply behave and do that type of lancy or activity. In future, when you come, you become the daughter-in-law, you will have a mother-in-law that will deal with you similarly. So all these are activity obstacles. So you want to have good life, good career, good employer, good colleague, good sibling together with harmony, understanding, or then don't create this karmic negativity. Otherwise, it will haunt you. It become your karmic inheritance, and you will become the victim that will go through the suffering that you throw to people, or you hit out at people, or you cause suffering to fellow living beings from the past. You reap what you sow. Karma is like that. You are born of your karma, heir to your karma, kinesia, supported by you are what you are because of your karma. So, you reap what you sow. Do good because good, do evil because evil. Whatever you do, come back to you, good and bad. Remember that. So be kind to people. Be gentle. Have love. Have gratitude, respect. Then follow Noble Eightfold Path. Right view, condition, right thought, right speech, right action. Your speeches must be kind, pleasant, gentle, and good speeches that brings about harmony, that can avoid misunderstanding, that can bring about love, joy, and happiness. No more of those wrong speech. No more of those harsh speech, cunning, deceiving speech. No more of selfishness. No more of strong emotional, violent speeches. So all this is what Noble Eightfold Path is. Then act wisely. Act without karmic negativity. Means without the evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion. Be generous, be kind, be helpful, be compassionate, have love and be loved. So all these are the understanding that will unfold when you have Noble Eightfold Path. There's a Noble Eightfold Path is the meditation that is taught by the Buddha that will lead to the end of all suffering. So whatever you do, you have the Dhamma following Noble Eightfold Path, then you will condition very beautiful activity coming inheritance in the future. You don't have to pay back all this unnecessary karmic activity obstacle. So now you understand, you want to have good life, good career environment, good friends, good sibling, all those things that has a lot of understanding, harmony, then make sure you cultivate the Dhamma and you live your life in that. Otherwise, you will be born into a family where all the siblings, they will argue among themselves, fight among themselves, create a lot of misunderstanding, even between parents and children, and end up hating each other, and like want to walk out of the house. And a lot of enmity, unnecessary mental states that are very negative. Because these are all the karmic consciousness that are conditioned from the past. Well, in the past, you did this to them. Each and everyone did to each other. Then in future, you have to pay back come back again, born into a similar family with all this. Sometimes you rotate. You become the parent, they become children. Then later, they become the parent, you become children. And what they did to you, you did back to them. And this type of karma can never end unless you know how to do the three things that I teach you. See it, be sensitive, feel it, then vow not to repeat all this. And ask for forgiveness, repent. Then follow the advice of the Buddha to cultivate, to improve your karmic understanding and inheritance. Then after that, when you cultivate this way, you develop wholesomeness, merits. Then invoke power of merits for causes and conditions to turn around, to do away with the karmic obstacle. Then you will have very good future retribution, karmic inheritance instead of obstacle, and beautiful activity, karmic inheritance. So whatever you do, come back to you. If you are kind to people, good to people, generous, all this will come back to you. Generosity, wealth, or whatever, kindness, goodness. That's why you will meet people who will like you. Yeah. Your parents will be the way you deal with your children in the early days. Because as children, yeah, you actually have the understanding that in future, you will have parents that will also take care of you. Yeah. Because this is how you take care of your children as parents. But if you neglect your duty, irresponsible, go and get yourself drunk, involved in drugs and all those things, and become very irresponsible. So in future, you will be born into a family where your parents also gambler, drunk, and heedless, neglect the family. So that time, you cannot complain, why my parents like that? How come I'm born into such a family? It's unfair. There is no such thing as unfair. Well, these are activity obstacles that you did in the past. You reap what you sow, now you become the victim. So similarly, as a child, what type of parent you have depends on how you behave when you are a parent. If you simply pamper your children and spoil them, you will have parents that will come, although rich and wealthy, they will also pamper you and spoil you. And you also go the wrong way. That's why to live life, you must have the Dhamma understanding, not to like give in to everything that your children want and spoil them. No. You must have understanding what is proper, what is improper. Your duty as parents, as children, as bosses, as colleagues, as neighbors and all things. These are what they call activity, relationship, working condition, obstacle. Your living condition and your environment where you work, your career environment and all those things. So hopefully by now, you have better understanding. So you want to take care of your future life, you make sure you avoid all this. Never create any of this. That's why the Buddha's advice, all evil has to be avoided. Not avoid all evil. And not avoid evil. You must avoid all evil. Sabba papasa akarana. Then the last one is affliction obstacle. Here, affliction means it implies karmically conditioned suffering or affliction caused by your heedlessness while living life in the past. That is, whenever you act, speak, and think with an evil mind that has the evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion, then affliction or suffering will follow you, like the wheel that follows the hoof of the car. Then Dhammapada verse 1 will take its course. So if you want to have the happy life, the good life, then be heedful to train your mind to act, speak, and think without the evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion. Then happiness will follow you, like your shadow that never leaves you, which is Dhammapada verse 2, Dhammapada verse 2, and it will take its course. So this part, Whatever that you have done in the past, you cannot change, understand? You have to endure, you have to endure. You have to confront, you have to confront. But through wisdom, coming is like that every night. You can understand, accept the reality, endure, then no more ability to afflict you anymore, then that karmic reverse, I realize. Reverse, completely reverse. Cease very fast. But if you continue to be haunted, it will continuously haunt you until you wake up, until you suffer enough. Yeah. So all these understanding are very important. That's why you have to avoid all evil, do good, and purify the mind. Follow the advice of the Buddha to avoid all these three types of karmic obstacle. Yeah. So I repeat, retribution obstacle, activity obstacle, followed by affliction obstacle. So these three, spend some time to contemplate, reflect and understand it. Then develop the wisdom to actually enable you to understand life better so that you can avoid all this. So that in future when you come, you become beautiful. You only have to pay back what you can't erase or change, which is the past. So all this, hopefully, you will develop the understanding. Okay, we move on. This last paragraph is very important because there is affliction obstacle. So what must you do? First thing first, don't blame anybody for your affliction. Don't get angry. Don't become emotional and don't react out of it. For according to the Buddha, we are all born our karma, heir to our karma, conditioned and supported by our karma. And we are what we are because of our karma. So do strive on with heedfulness to take care of karma so that your future life, so that all of your life in the future is taken care of. Do not be heedless. Have goodness and kindness, for you reap what you sow. What you do to others, karmically, it will come back to you. So if you are good and kind to others, karmically, others will be good and kind to you. Because these are your karmic inheritance. Then understand, the absence of evil is good. Don't try to be good or do good. Because that trying to be good is good according to you, not following nature's law. But instead, just train your mind to be mindful or heedful so that it is incapable of evil. Then naturally, you will be good. Because when you are mindful and aware, and you cannot have negative thought, which has selfishness, greed, hatred, and delusion, then you are naturally good. Where you are incapable of evil. Those who have cultivated the Noble Eightfold Path will have this ability. There will be no evil. Yeah. Where if you have Noble Eightfold Path, means this embodiment of the advice of Buddha, then how can there be any evil? But only wisdom and virtue. Where the Noble Eightfold Path, all the Eight Path Factor is about right view, leading to right thought, right speech, right action, right livelihood, or right living. Then the four right effort to continuously purify. Then the right mindfulness leading to right samadhi. So these are all virtuous path factors that can make you beautiful. Yeah. So all this understanding is what you must have. Then I want to add in this. After you understand all this, how to overcome all this, there are three ways following the understanding of the Buddha. The first thing you must do is to accept the reality. It means right view to accept. Then don't get angry, don't react, don't become emotional, don't even develop fear. For all these negative thought process or what they call mind state, like fear, worry, anxiety, sorrow and lamentation. Yeah, the word is lamentation. It will not help you, understand? No amount of fear can help you. Anger can help you. Emotion can help you. So what is important is accept the reality, then calm yourself down. Then ask yourself, what actually happened? That tree is the origination factor. Then ask yourself, now that I have understood all this with a clear mind, I must act. I must move, following Noble Eightfold Path, to avoid all evil, do good, and purify the mind. Means I want to resolve all this amicably. The word is amicably, so that no negativity to anybody. Yeah. So you have to accept the reality. Then when you don't react, don't blame, don't do all those foolish things, then your mind state has clarity. Then you can act. Act following Noble Eightfold Path, the advice of the Buddha. Then contemplate and reflect on Noble Eightfold Path factor. After I accept a right view, means the world is the world. People are just the way they are. I cannot perceive them with negativity or blame. All this is not useful. It will not help. So when I accept them for what they are, then I reflect. I contemplate. I say, how come last night I cannot? I keep on perceiving people with negativity. I keep on perceiving the world with negativity. It means I want things my way, following my own standard or perception of things. Means your views, your opinion, your religious belief. All this is what conditions you to react and create all the unnecessary negativity or mind state. Means you stir your mind and react to what you see, what you hear, what you smell, taste, tactile, feel, and think. Means your perception is based on wrong view, wrong understanding. Because all your accumulated so-called views, opinion, conditioning, and belief system come from memory. Well, this is how you develop them through society's influence. The moment you are born into this world, you are taught a lot of so-called knowledge. Then you are taught a lot of religious belief and all those things. Then sometimes you may not believe in religion or God. Then you have your own standard of right and wrong. Then you end up living life without clear understanding. Means with duality you act. That's why all these are wrong action. J. Krishnamurti said, acting according to memory is not acting at all. What are memory? Accumulated experiences, good and bad, from the past. And the past is already dead and gone. No more reality. But we cling on to it, hold on to it through memory. And what are these memories? Like I say, good and bad. Your phobia also inside there. Your fear, your insecurity, your scars of memory, your views, your opinion, your belief system. All these have a lot of evil root, wrong thought. And they will condition suffering, misery. So how can you act according to memory? They say acting according to memory is not acting at all. But that is the only way living being can act. But they only have the bundle of memory with its conditioning and belief system to act. They don't have the Dhamma understanding or wisdom. You should instead act based on understanding, which is wisdom, born of Noble Eightfold Path, the right understanding, starting from right view, leading to right thought, right spirit. So if you have the embodiment of the Noble Eightfold, you know how to act. Then you can overcome life situation and problem. So this is how we develop the understanding. Right view to accept, then we cultivate right thought, right speech, right action, right livelihood, then right effort for right effort, then right mindfulness and samadhi. Following the advice of the Buddha, Dhammapada verse 183. Then from there, we tell ourselves, okay, now I know how to act. How can I resolve everything amicably? So when you have the right view to accept the reality, you don't act, you don't become emotional, no more negativity, then your mind is at peace. There is clarity. And you can investigate and develop the understanding of how to reverse all this. Means you must straighten your view. You must learn how to see things as they are, following the advice of the Buddha. People are just the way they are. No right, no wrong. Then the world is the world. Conditioned like that, things will like that. Deluded people do deluded things. Selfish people do selfish things. Evil people do evil things. Violent people do violent things. There is no right and no wrong. They are just the way they are. So we accept them for what they are, and the world for what they are, then I have no problem. Whatever arises through my six sense basis, I can come to terms with it, to accept them for what they are. Then I act to resolve everything amicably. So if I know it's coming, like the first right view in regards to the law of karma, so what must I do? Very likely whatever happened to you, the first noble truth reality suffering that afflict you, is all due to karma. So you have to accept that reality then. Do what you have to do. Means first, need to repent to break karmic obstruction, like what I have taught you, the three types of karmic obstruction. Retribution, activity, and affliction. Karmic obstruction. So to break that, we need initially to ask for forgiveness. But if you don't do that, this thing will obstruct you and prevent you from receiving help and understanding to overcome them. So repentance and asking for forgiveness is very important. Then after that, vow not to repeat all this by following the advice of the Buddha to cultivate. Following the Dhammapada verse 183, the advice of all Buddha, to avoid all evil, to good and purify the mind. Then by doing that, you are stepping into the path of cultivation, improving your karmic wholesomeness and inheritance. And when there is sufficient merits, wholesomeness, you can invoke power of merits for causes and conditions to turn around, to help yourself and help others. It can be any of the first noble two reality, old age, sickness and death, or separation, or traumatic disease and all those things. Then, when the causes and conditions is already planted, then with the third way, when you invoke power of merits, nature's law will move in such a way, you will receive the causes and conditions to be helped. Then you can meet out your wise people, or good doctors, and people who can advise you accordingly, so that you can come out of it, then you can recover. Sometimes people say miracle do occur. It's not miracle, it's the way you understand. And you know to invoke all this and develop the understanding, the three way that I taught you. Then you turn around and you become very beautiful. So that is the last part that I want to complete the explanation, so that all of you can now develop proper understanding as to understand clearly what the karmic thing is all about, and how the teaching has been put in such a clear manner that the three types of karmic obstacle can be clearly understood and be managed, so that you can avoid them, clear them, or eradicate them through wisdom, through understanding. Okay, then we move on to the last part. Part 3. So this one is based on the email number 4 of my book. I remember that one is understanding the meditation as taught by the Buddha. Then this one is based on the email number 4 that I wrote to a lot of Buddhist organizations all over the world. Especially this particular one is to Dhammasukha, I remember, the Venerable Vimalaramsi, the late Venerable. Yes, they had a group discussion, and I happened to register for that thing, and it was more than 10 years ago. So this email number 4, I summarize it so that you can develop the understanding. Three turnings and the 12 mode on the Four Noble Truths. If you want to learn more, you go and get the book, the email compilation from the website. It is there. Then you read through in detail. It explains a lot of things. But here, I use it to compare against the three turnings of the Theravada tradition against the three types of prajna or wisdom as explained by Master Xuan Hua under his commentary. They are same but put under different words, or they describe it differently. So the three types of prajna or wisdom as explained by Master Xuan Hua are in fact similar to those of the three turning of the Four Noble Truths wisdom as explained by the Buddha under the Dhammacakkappavattana Sutta or his first sermon. And they are, under the first turning, the Buddha just proclaimed the truth. So proclaiming the truth as spoken by the Buddha can lead to Suttamaya Panya. Yeah? According to Engbi, the spelling is one T only, not two T. That's why we make a note of the amendment in our next edition. Bracket, wisdom born of hearing the sutta. Sutta are the discourse of the Buddha. Yeah. So when you listen to the discourse of the Buddha, then it can give you the understanding. Then there is a type of wisdom born of first turning called Suttamaya Panya. But Master Xuan Hua called it the prajna of language. That's why you need to use language to explain or proclaim. That's why prajna of language is the same. It's actually Suttamaya Panya. Then the second turning is, after you have heard and yet your wisdom not stable as yet, then the Buddha say you can reflect on it, contemplate on it, or inquire into it, into those truths that he has proclaimed. Leading to the second type of wisdom called Chintamaya Panya. This is wisdom born of constant contemplation, inquiry and reflection on the truth as proclaimed by the Buddha. So the Xuan Hua, Master Xuan Hua called it the prajna or wisdom of contemplative illumination. So it's the same. You contemplate, reflect and inquire, then that wisdom that arises is more stable than your initial first turning wisdom where you just listen. But after you listen, you may not have the clear understanding or stable understanding. Then when you reflect, contemplate and inquire, then you stabilize the understanding and you start to assimilate them into your nature. Yeah. Then it becomes a part of you. That is second turning wisdom. That's why they call it Chintamaya Panya. Then the third turning is meditative training, leading to Bhavanamaya Panya, wisdom born of the meditative training as taught by the Buddha. And Master Xuan Hua called it the prajna of characteristic of actuality, means the very penetrative wisdom, or we call it the ultimate wisdom. So they are similar but called under different words. Okay, we move on. Oh, finish. Okay, good. So we can stop here and have our 45 minutes of awareness-based meditation. So remember the four support. For those who are new, read through my latest two books or the last three books that we published. The difference between awareness and consciousness, the earlier third book. Then the next one is the path to Nibbana. Then followed by the latest one is ultimate realization to transcend life. Inside there, we have the instruction for awareness-based meditation. Read through that one. It will help you. So like the word awareness-based meditation is to help you develop the inner awareness or mindfulness, then stabilize it to enable you to realize your true mind, your silent mind, your meditative mind, so that you can develop the appropriate wisdom and awakening. You can use that mind to insight into phenomena, to observe silently, to awaken, to see things as they are, without words. So all these are the understanding that you can develop And that meditative mind, which is mainly awareness, is most beautiful. You can stabilize that and use it to develop more and more understanding and awakening. Then you become beautiful. So you can slowly, mindfully, come out of your meditation. And we will continue with our second session, which is meditation reporting, or followed by whatever question you may have. You may ask me any Dhamma question regarding the teaching or meditation, or also how to apply this Buddhist teaching or the Dhamma to let you understand life and overcome whatever life problem or situation that one may have. Okay, the last part is Dhamma in daily life sharing by all the Kaya Mitta who has experienced them. You can also do that. Okay, now we open it up. Make full use of this session to ask me whatever question you may want, or even report your meditation. You just have to describe exactly how you develop the meditation. Then I will know how to guide you. Then you can also continue with whatever question that you may want to ask me to develop better understanding of the progress of your meditation and Dhamma understanding.
I think there was a reason why I came to this session.
Oh, sadhu.
Interesting. Because I have been contemplating about my niece.
Oh,
she
okay.
is in Australia. She's a single mother with two teenage children.
Okay.
She's doing very, very well in financial services business. She's
oh,
got
sadhu,
the practice
sadhu.
All set up. But
oh,
something
sadhu.
Like 5 months ago or so, she was coming down the stairs in her townhouse.
Oh, okay.
And they have two cats. The two cats, one is about 10 and the other is about 7, 8 years old. The
oh,
cat
okay.
ran in front of her on the steps. And she tried to avoid the cat. She fell down, and in the process, her liver was cut almost into two.
Ayo.
So she ended up in the hospital for something like 3 months, because with the liver, you cannot grow back. You cannot.
Very difficult.
You have to let it heal on its own. So that's
right,
one
right.
thing. I just explain a little bit of background, and
can,
then you
can,
can
can.
Then after that, she was quite all right already, and I kept saying to her, no, you must not use your fancy sports car. She's like, you know, they're on the go, everything is working so well, so much money and all
yeah,
that.
Yeah.
No, so I told her not to do that. And then before I knew it, she's been in the hospital. After that 3 months, she's now come out of the hospital after another 33 days.
Oh, okay.
Because she kept telling me, I mean, she told the parents and all that, and me also, because I'm on the phone with her regularly.
Oh, okay.
That, oh, you know, my chest hurts, you know. And actually, the doctors never found out, the specialists in Australia, never found out that three of her ribs were broken.
Ayo.
So she ended up in the hospital 33 days. In that time, they put in titanium, but the body rejected it.
Oh,
so they had to graft some bone, I don't know from where, to put that. So now, finally, after all this problem, she is able to go home. But she's still very, very sick, in the sense that she's in the house, but the effects of the drugs and all that is terrible. Pain is there because there are no more painkillers.
Correct.
So my brother and my sister-in-law, the brother and everybody's looking after her, you know. But so
how
this,
old is she?
She's about 38.
Oh, okay. Not really that old, huh?
No, No.
Still at the youth, that I mean mature age,
Yeah. So
40 something, yeah.
I
In
was.
fact, that should be the prime age of a career person,
Which is where she's at now, and actually she's moving ahead very, very fast in the kind of financial services world, you
Very
know, all this.
successful in what she do, yeah.
And then she's been able to do like millions of dollars worth of
Yeah,
investments under her own group, herself, let alone the training she's doing with her team. Because when I go, I always go and see them, know what's going on. So
Oh, that's good.
far it's been going on well, but I was thinking about why would a cat do that to her? Or she doesn't blame anybody.
Oh,
You know?
okay.
And the cat is still loved as much as ever. They don't make any fuss. She never complains. She just said, you know, she's tired and that's about it. My sister-in-law never complains. My brother never complains. They travel a lot around the world. They stopped doing that now to look after her. Her brother came back from Sri Lanka to help her at some other problems. So I told him he's back in Australia now because he needs the rest. And it is his good fortune to be able to look after the sister and the two young kids, you see. But the problem is, when you look at the karmic obstacles,
All these are related one because the Buddha say, not only her, your niece, we every living being, not only human beings, we
so
are all born our karma. You listen to this first. Heir to our karma, conditioned and supported by our karma, and we are what we are because of karma. So all this, when they manifest, is definitely, like the Buddha say, whatever arise in this existential world where we live our life, there are causes and conditions behind. And these causes and conditions is all, almost 90 over percent, 99.999% is karmically related. Otherwise, it won't happen. We are such a strange happening, especially in her own house with her own cat that she loves so much and care for so much. This thing can happen. So there are causes and conditions behind. And these are something that is related to her past, the karmic past. And she has to go through all this suffering is what we call affliction obstacle, affliction karma obstacle. This is what you do to people, to living beings, to life. And when it comes and hit her, sorry, she got to experience that type of effect, the affliction, which is suffering in that particular manner. That's why it is linked to what she did to maybe many lives. That's why the payback that come in this form, affliction, karmic fortune of what she did will actually happen in such a manner that she has to go through that period of suffering. And whether the doctor overlooked and didn't manage to trace or what, but very unlikely if three broken ribs with the CT scan and everything, they can actually detect one. Even
The thing is, when we were talking to her, she said, "Oh, it's a bit painful, but because we thought that because she fell on the stairs, of course it's painful, but we didn't know that it was more than just a simple hairline fracture."
correct. But it has actually damaged the liver, you know, like you say, cut the liver into two, you know,
Almost into two.
that is really serious, you know.
Yeah.
Means hemorrhaging inside there, you know. So these are what we call, maybe I give you an example, you may understand better. Because this one happened to somebody I know, my own mother-in-law, actually. Very strange. She was having a normal life, good life, everything actually. But she and the husband, they are very close. Then they of course have some coming past, like coming debt to pay back. But they are good parents, except they don't have the Dhamma understanding or anything. But my mother-in-law got faith in the Triple Gemma. And she followed the Mahayana, do the chanting, he wear the Hai Ching, all those things. And you know what happened, Anna? She initially have this problem of what they call our intestine. I think she was diagnosed with something like fistula, means got hole opening, all those things. Then actually need surgery and all those things. So after the surgery, she actually recovered quite well already. And you know what happened or not after that? Many months later, she had an accident while coming down from Kuala Selangor back to PJL. What happened was the husband was driving, and nothing happened to the husband. The husband got very minor outpatient care type of situation, and he was discharged, I think, after consultation with the GP. But my mother-in-law, very funny, admitted again, and very severe this time. Yeah. That dashboard, she was sitting on the passenger side next to the driver. That passenger compartment, you know, we have a compartment where we open and put our thing on, because it was an accident with the lorry. The lorry actually smashed into her side, with that compartment hitting her abdomen, and damaged a lot of the, what they call, intestine and all those things, until she was hospitalized for many months. Then try to go to your private hospital to do the surgery, until the surgeon opened up Asunta and said she dare not do the surgery. We have too much damages. They just sew back the whole thing and all those things. Then luckily my wife, government servant at UH, she stayed at UH very long. But she beautiful. We are later part. She had a good death and all those things. But at the hospital, she very kind. She gratitude towards the nurse, all those people. And every time I ask my wife and the children to buy the fruits and all those things and offer to all those people. And she didn't complain. Then while she was hospitalized, one of his younger son, marriage date fixed already, we still go through the whole thing. Then I sense something. So I told my wife, I said, very likely from what I see, is past life, my mother-in-law, in the distant past or on many occasions, must have hurt people or harmed people by sharp knife or object, hurting them at the abdomen part. That's why this type of karma, affliction karma, when you come back, it will hit. And even you go through surgery, like you recover already, but things will happen like this accident until at the same spot. No, you just imagine the driver, just outpatient care. And how come she that thing hit back at the same spot and create such affliction to her? No, but like you say, she being a Buddhist, she understands, she accepted that reality, then she endured through. And she is a good mother-in-law, I can tell you. Yeah. She really cared for the children, sacrificed a lot for the children, and the family depend on her to become what they are today. That's why I also have affinity with her, because I married to my wife, and for many years we were living together. They all from Kuala Selangor come down. So what I'm trying to share with you is this particular case, my mother-in-law, I sense it, my nature sense it, and I told my wife, He must have hurt somebody with a lot of anger and hatred at that part, the intestine there. Also. That's why this life, the karmic affliction that come, is a karmic debt repayment that she need to go through. And she luckily accepted it very well. And because she have faith in the Kuan Yin, Triple Gem and all those things, and the Mayana, and she go through all the chanting all those things. So I told my wife the karmic thing, the karmic that with her husband, my mother-in-law and my father-in-law, we saw it very clearly. They argue, they fight and all those things. So that one is what we call activity karmic obstacle, means siokyam jie one, the karmic debt you have to pay back one. Then the children, all different karmic background, they also have this activity karmic obstacle that they have to be born together in the family, and how each other react to each other, developing all the karmic consciousness to like get angry, react to what happened. All these are the karmic thing that I saw and I explained to my wife. And now my daughter is at the right time. I saw how my sister, family, the nephew, the niece all go through all this. I also explained to her, and yesterday one of the niece came, we talked again, then I explained all this. I said, this karmic thing, you have to overcome. You have to develop the understanding not to react and become a like victim to all these manifestations. But the karmic consciousness will condition you in such a manner that you will react negatively to your own brother, sister, for what happened, and misunderstanding, little jealousy, hatred, and unhappy mind state. Then blame the mother for like taking care more of the other children and less of these children, but they stay in the same family. So all this misunderstanding can happen. Then the other two brother, which are the nephew, they also saw like in a mess. They also fed up. One of them went to Singapore. Then the other one stayed back, one also tried to be away from the house. But I explained to them, you have to resolve all this. Well, these are karmic paths. These are karmic activity obstacles that come and haunt you all. You all have to break all this. And the affliction, karma, you have to break it. Through what? Asking for forgiveness. Then vow not to repeat all this, to follow the advice of the Buddha. Then develop all the merits, the wholesomeness, and invoke power of merits, the third way, to actually resolve all this amicably so that you can develop the turnaround, so that all this karmic negativity from the past can be eradicated. That's why the power of the Heart Sutta is ability to develop the wisdom, the penetrative wisdom to allow living beings to eradicate all this karmic obstacle. Without the Dhamma, no way. And this one, the payback may not be just one life like that. If you don't know how to resolve it amicably, and eradicate it so that it can be rooted out, it can still come back in future life or not. Of course, like your niece, this case, the success is due to her good karma, good generosity and all those things, then well come, she's successful. Then single mother also same. One of my nieces also a single mother. Got one child, not two child. So all this, there are karmic behind. And life, existence is not easy to comprehend without the Dhamma understanding. Even as a practitioner of Dhamma, if you just do the sainthood way, it's not enough to understand life, the karmic intricacy. Like the Buddha said, karma is the most complicated field of spiritual field of understanding. You need to be a great being to comprehend. That's why you need extensive cultivation following the Bodhisattva way to develop all this understanding. For me, it's because after 1989, when my nature connect, all this understanding came back to me. That's why I can see them, I understand them, and I can explain what actually Xuanhua tried to explain. Because he, under the commentary, he didn't explain much about that three type of coming obstacle. He just mentioned them. But the, like the five stages of Bohemai development, the Fakusan one, that Senyan Fasu, he just mentioned the five stages of Bohemai development. But my nature understand what they are, yeah? From the past cultivation, my nature understand. That's why I can explain to you what these five stages of Bohemian development are and how it links to the 10 step of the Bodhisattva way cultivation, the 10 grounds and all those things. So all these are the understanding that can unfold if you have the cultivation to understand all this. So for your niece's case, I cannot tell you now where I don't know her and I haven't met up with her and I don't know the background behind, but roughly I can tell you the affliction obstacle comes from her past life. She must have done something that resulted in suffering of people, whatever she is going through, and it linked to that organ, the ribs at the liver and all those things. What you cause to living beings, you reap what you sow. Then you plant the seed of wholesomeness, you reap the fruit of wholesomeness. You plant the seed of what they call evil, you will reap the fruition of the evil coming effect. And that is affliction karma, affliction coming obstacle that will continue to haunt that living being. So major evil committed by people, they will manifest in future life when you come, despite your success and all those things. So life, existence, is closely related and needed to karma. And for living beings that don't have the understanding of karma, they cannot understand life. Then some people become miserable over what happened. Why me? Why this thing happened? All these why are the questions that the mundane mind will ask. But they fail to understand the karmic causes and conditions from the past. So this is what I can maybe share with you. Hopefully
but
it helps.
Just to tell you that I had contemplated on these sort of things. Or what? Because it is a lesson for all of us.
Yes, definitely.
So when I contemplated, I saw it as that affliction. But then I look at her and I talk to them all. I find my niece has got more friends than enemies. She's very good with people. That's why she's successful in this sort of thing. Number
you're
one.
Right. Correct. And that come from, actually you must understand, the aeons and aeons of birth and death, which could be billions and billions of years of birth and death. And what you must understand is, her good karmic affinity, which we call activity karmic inheritance, is she is kind and good to people, financially successful. All this will be manifested, that's why she has. But then, maybe in certain life which we don't know, she must have done something horrible that resulted in not only one person suffer, but a lot of people suffer that type of like organ failure, like liver failure, or say, or liver damages, or killing, or what, I don't know. That's why, because, but my mother-in-law was very funny, you know, my nature knew, you know. Or it has that thing on, a sharp object that he not only hurt and kill, he do a lot of those things out of anger and hatred. That's why this affliction karma come, she must pay back. And After operation, heal already. Well, initially DNA all there. Then the accident aggravated it and become worse. And the husband, which is my father-in-law, driver, nothing happened. The lorry accident, both were there. But my mother-in-law cannot do that. So how you explain all this? It points clearly to that karmic thing. Yeah. That's why I witnessed all this. I saw all this. My nature sensed it, and I told my wife. So need to, on her behalf, ask for forgiveness and whatever. Then,
show that as well. She's an Amor, she's not like
oh,
us.
Oh, it's not
so
Asian.
She doesn't understand all this. But having
then
said
never mind, let her use her own
I do
faith.
For her. I do
Or
for
you
her.
can,
Okay,
yeah, on
I do
behalf
for her.
of her.
But the thing is, Amor as she is, when this happened, she never had a bad word to say about Cat or her problems or blame it on anybody. Somehow she just accepted that was her lot. And it is still continuing. Of course she goes in a bit of depression and all that. But I always tell her, you're a very lucky girl. You have so many good things to think about. And not only that, you've got wonderful parents who coming seeing to you, 3 months later, now this other 33 days, now it's going to be
already
another
very
month or
blessed.
2 months in the house and
And
living.
got all the overseas relative to come and look after her and all those things, like your brother from Sri Lanka and all those things.
So my brother lives in Australia. He's the son that's living that way. But having said that, I just say that you just have to value the life and the good things you have.
Definitely.
And then, and even to all of them, I said, this is your opportunity to gain value, merits, understand life better. And
How
all
you
of
treat
them,
people, it become your inheritance. So
So
all these are very good understanding that Sui actually yesterday brought it out. He said we must teach them to have more gratitude towards our parents. At least we still have parents who can help us. Look at it. We are the single mom needs. He said, whatever happened, you cannot blame them. Even they make mistake and cause problem to your child or what. Because, like Sui said, they don't owe you anything. It's because they are your mom. They volunteer to help you. They are your brothers and sister, they volunteer to help you. They don't owe you anything. So you must have gratitude and appreciate what they have actually true good intention to help you. But everybody make mistake, understand? Then sometimes the karma can be because of the child and be of her, the niece, or could be due to something that is very complicated and very intricate that nobody can understand. But you start to like react and become angry and unhappy over what happened, then the evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion, they will manifest. And then the misunderstanding become more and more, more and more. So this part, gratitude is very important. Appreciation of life, appreciation of what people has offered to help in their own way. Could be your loved ones. Like for your case, your advice to them is very good. You want to learn how to appreciate life and develop the understanding and the compassion, the love.
But Brother Teo, I myself cannot understand why I could, after going through all this with them, all this, I'm not allowed to travel outside the country right now, so I can't go.
Yeah, but you can through phone, you can video call or communicate.
But the thing is, it is the Dharma, that you don't understand
definitely.
Why suddenly I'm able to say all these things to them, not much more, bits and pieces, because otherwise they are not Buddhist or anything like that. So
Correct.
We cannot push too much on
Cannot, because their culture is different, their belief system is different, like you say, she's Amor, understand? So we have to respect them. Their religious belief and all those things.
It's just that I just want to thank you to say that, this Dharma has taught us to progress that I can even sit
To
in
be
it.
a real,
Yeah.
what they call, human being that can be a blessing to all, to
Yeah.
really understand life, live life, and be a blessing to all of humanity,
And this is
society.
just using plain common sense to contemplate.
Correct, correct.
Nothing more
Means
than
the
plain
virtue
common.
behind, the appreciative virtue, to appreciate life, to treasure what people has done to help you, to let you go through difficult period, care for you, sacrifice for you, and also look after your needs. So these are the what they call understanding that can make people feel that there is still a good part that they have, that they can, through their contemplative wisdom, treasure it, value it, and cherish it. Despite what happened, they are still blessed with so many other things, like what you told them. You
But
still have good support from family,
when we
people.
start thinking that, like you say, Brother Teo, when you start thinking like that, our whole being also changes, the part of
Definitely, because
body.
they won't like be drawn into depressive mind state,
No, but we are the
emotional.
ones that
Yeah.
benefit too. We are the
Definitely, definitely.
contemplative
Because
people.
when you have this understanding, when you share all this, people feel good and so. Instead of blaming and say all those nasty words, if the parent is not careful or their thought got the karmic thing, they will get very angry with the cat or not. But in this case, luckily, you say
Oh.
your niece didn't do that. Because sometimes it's karmic. The karmic consciousness will make them hate the cat and they blame the cat for what happened. But that is karmic. We call activity karmic. Your affinity with the cat, understand? With the children. They come to you not by accident, on.
It doesn't mean she cannot die still, We are very aware, but we don't say that.
Yeah,
We are
yeah,
very aware. But it is like she just said, that's the beauty. She's not a Buddhist, and yet she can understand that
Yeah,
she
they can
has
have
to
this type
walk
of
through it.
value.
We
Maybe
must
their
walk through
faith.
it.
Their faith, yes.
I don't even know how to say. All I know is I'm very lucky. I have this opportunity in this hardship, of the hardship, to actually progress in the practice. And I
Sadhu,
hope
very good.
everybody will. Every How should I say? Every suffering has its silver lining also.
Sadhu,
If we apply a little bit of the wisdom that you're talking about, the
yeah.
Chintamaya, Panya, and all those kind of
Correct,
things,
correct. Contemplative wisdom, yeah.
we can also loosen the karmic. We already
Correct.
have other obstacles,
The
our
karmic
own
obstacle
obstacles.
that block them.
Yeah.
Because when you understand, you will not react, blame, stir, and do all those foolish things. Well, they can't help you. The only way is to come to terms with the reality and move on, to develop the understanding, to move on, and continue to have love, have compassion, have understanding, to appreciate life, to live life, and to really develop the ability to, maybe for their case, to understand life in the Dhamma way is not easy, but at least to develop the understanding of the value of living. There are values in life that we can appreciate instead of thinking negatively about what happened. Well, all these were conditioned wrong thought that will condition their emotional negativity, their fear, worry, anxiety, sorrow, lamentation, and deep resentment of what happened and how that situation unfold. Because they will hold on to all this through anger, hatred, and delusion.
This one kid, one my niece is one kid that I think somehow has gratitude,
But
Because
this very good.
I talk to her about all these things, and slowly she understands, yeah, Auntie Moon, this is how it is and all that. She talks to me, you see. So I feel that
Sadhu, very
maybe
good.
this is the we are getting old, so this is a little way in which we can
Oh, definitely.
give
Oh.
back to them, you know.
This
Anyway,
is
this
how we
is.
can advise the younger generation. Because they cannot understand what is all is sickness and death. And especially accident. That's why I include the word, apart from disease, is injury, accident, karmic related situation and manifestation. So all these are the realities of life and existence. And young people, if it doesn't happen to them or if they didn't witness it from one of their close family members, they never have time for all this one.
That's all I wanted to share on
Very good, very
this
good.
particular
Sadhu.
topic and the meditational experience.
Sadhu, sadhu. Thank you so much, Jay. So we should all rejoice, huh? Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu.
Good evening, Brother Teo. This is Teo and all contents. And I sincerely hope that your knees will get better
Yeah,
and
recover to good health soon.
physical problem. Actually, I also I'm not sure why over these past few months I also like kind of understand about karma
Because what Manchen went through also, witnessing her parents and all those things. The earlier one is the sister's, your mother's sister, is
the auntie.
your auntie. She really very good. Manchen look after her until she passed away. And care and love all that. Then Manchen used to share with us a lot about the auntie. How she cope and how finally she passed away peacefully and all those things. The auntie is not married on her. So all these are very good. Then now my years are to see the parent 80 something already going through all this. So she has the Dhamma, the understanding, the gratitude, the love, the compassion, and she wants to do something as a child, filial piety. Then these are the things that will enable her to inherit good karmic deeds, like caring for the parents, developing all the love, the understanding via the Dhamma way, and to contemplate and reflect. But they see them like as they age, a lot of things about the reality of life and existence while going through old age, sickness, and death with disease, injury, all those things. So all this she also witnessed. That's why I say you choose Manyan as a correct person. Manyan, now you continue.
What I understand is, karma can come through anybody to
Correct.
get to the person.
Sadhu.
Yeah. It can be your own loved one that is very nice to you, or it can even be, because usually we thought, oh, bad karma usually come from someone bad. But
Not
not
necessarily,
necessarily.
huh?
Yeah.
Your karmic
It
debt
can
can come
be.
from anybody, huh?
Yeah. But it's not, even though it comes from someone that you really love or your loved ones are, it has nothing to do with them.
Nothing to do with them. Yeah, they are under the
Nothing.
influence of the karmic consciousness, the activity and all those things, which they themselves also don't understand. Well, these are causes and conditions that will manifest one. That's why karma is a very complicated field where very few people can develop the understanding. But it's so intricate and so complex.
Yeah, that means what I'm trying to say is, if the bad karma comes through them, we shouldn't be be angry with that person.
Don't react to it. Don't be
Yeah.
afflicted by it or don't be entangled by it. Very important, that one.
Yeah, and why it happened is like you just say that it's because of your own karma. Yeah, so in that like twin case, the cat is someone something that is well loved by the niece.
Yeah,
You never
definitely.
expect it come from the cat. But even if it happened, you shouldn't be angry with the cat. It all boils down to your own karma.
Yeah, your own karmic path. Otherwise, if you don't have that causes and condition on the path, this thing will not happen. No. And it can only happen because you have that past karmic, what they call that to repay, where it's an affliction that you cause to other beings. Then it will unfold the causes and condition for this to happen. No. Like my mother-in-law case. The accident with the lorry, actually, my father-in-law is a very good driver, I can tell you. And seldom he get into car accident. But that particular happening with the lorry, first time. But he escaped nothing, then my mother-in-law can. See, how you explain all this? It's because causes and conditions already there. Then it will unfold. It may be due to something else. You never know. And sometimes it can be due to a slight misunderstanding, then people become violent and you whack you and you just die. In fact, there is a lot of police case like that one. And sometimes you sit along a restaurant outside, now they put table outside, then the car come, then bang, then just die. Many cases are like that. So you never know when all this will happen. And these are all related to karmic. And it will unfold in many different ways which living beings cannot understand. And most people who comment from the side was this, "Ayo, why so suay all time happen to be there and that thing happened just like that." It's not suay, it's all karmically conditioned. Like the Buddha say, whatever happened, there are causes and condition behind, and when they all come together, it will unfold. Well, for my nature, I can sense all this one now before it happened. I can sense, but not all the time. Especially when I travel, spiritual trip or what, a lot of things I can know. Even when I'm here in PJ, or my nature can know. Well, the causes and condition will unfold, and I sense it. Then I will know something is happening. It manifests. Like earlier on, I told you after 89, my nature can sense, oh, I cannot take this fish. I cannot cross this. But I don't know why. Because from inside come out. Then I tested it. I want to find out. And then I realized all karmic related on the past. And this one you can only overcome through having wisdom, the Dhamma understanding, not to react and be afflicted by it. If it has no power over you, because you have the wisdom to accept and reverse all this, then it can be eradicated. That is what karma is all about. Once it has no more power over you, it will reverse itself. Means you have the wisdom and the understanding, you do not fall into that deluded mind state to allow this karmic debt to continue to haunt you, then it will reverse itself and you will come out of it beautifully. Because I went through it. When the test come to me, I developed that. The moment I understand it, unwind and the whole thing reverse, finish. That time it tested me very severely. But at that time, I can only be tested by my mother and my own son. That's why that thing happened. And it all tied to karmic past also. Then that thing just happened together. Then I say, what have I done wrong? I didn't do anything wrong. So all this manifestation, when you are a cultivator of the way, even we now know, when you are very good in your cultivation, as you approach the cultivation, it shows to you or not the coming. Every action, reaction, it come back or not. And like I always say in Hokkien, bu kalu bu chang sin, it's like that one. Then you will know one. You cannot play a fool with karma. You cannot treat all this lightly. Because it will come back to you. That's why the Buddha's advice is avoid all evil. We say, don't allow all this to be a problem in the future. Don't think that, very minor, small thing. Yeah? Once over already, not like that one. Yeah. Not worthwhile to violate one. Yes, the payback time, it can be very severe. Depending on who you harm and who you hurt and who you entangle the karmic with. Especially the triple gem. If you kena the triple gem, the karmic obstruction is, I tell you, can be hell. You can never come into contact with the Dhamma. And when you try to come into contact, a lot of things will come and haunt you and do all those funny things to you. Even one of our Kayamita, if you may recall, he has a karmic past entanglement with the triple gem. Then luckily this liar got affinity with my nature. I teach her how to ask for forgiveness and come out of it. He cannot even come near the Dhamma session. No. Last time when we have the retreat, first time she came, the moment I chant Namo Tassa, cannot take it already. That vibration, she actually cannot take it. Then later on, recovered. Then later on, come to my house. When I invoke the what they call Samantha and all those things, means invocation to the devas. Before that Samantha, she really cannot take it really. The vibration went to the back and like very eerie. Really. Then I said, okay, we don't recite. Then she continued to ask for forgiveness and do all that. Then she recovered. Then went to Achalo there also, cannot go in. No. The devas all block her. So we were doing the what they call consecration for the platform of Sakyamuni Buddha, Kuan Yin Bodhisattva, and Maitreya Buddha at that time. It was so beautiful and so wholesome, all that trip. But she also kenal. But luckily, the POV I manager sent, she managed to come in and finally participate in the whole thing. Then at night after the what they call Katina offering, I saw her like was sitting down there in the kneeling posture. The head keep on like pay respect, but like something hit her, you know, and forced her to do that. Then I saw, I rejoiced, and I say, oh, this is a good sign. Then after that I went and asked her, hey, what happened, you know. He said, but dear, I don't know, there is a force forcing me to pay respect and all those things. So he said, I just do lah. I said, good sign. Yeah, after that, more or less clear until today. That's why karmic obstruction, especially triple gem, not easy. If you don't have the good karma, I would say, you cannot overcome it. There is no way. So karmic is something which we cultivated all the way, cannot take lightly. We need to really have the understanding. Cannot take it for granted. Develop the understanding not to allow it to manifest. Because sometimes through our ignorance and delusion, we simply do things. So especially in certain birth, when you take certain birth, you think this is fun or what, you go and participate, you really can get into big trouble. That's why the Bodhisattva vow, the yellow card, I ask you to ask for forgiveness, starting with forgiveness from triple gem, then to all beings, from the disembodied, you know, on all the things, then whomsoever, for all the karmic that you have not covered, you still ask for forgiveness. Well, this will make it complete. So coming obstruction you don't break, very difficult to progress, very difficult to develop the understanding of life and transform into beautiful cultivator of the way. So all these are related. And now I think is the phase where you realize we are moving deeper and deeper into the understanding of the coming process, which last time I don't have condition to teach and share. But now, more and more of this condition arise, and the sharing, the condition all over manifest. Like actually said, meant to be, well, so long he didn't join the class, Then I talk about the karmic thing. And before I start, you can ask my daughter. Actually, the last Sunday, we finished this part already. Then I tell her, I say, this part very important. We repeat it, so that people understand. Then, so happened, Chewy meant to be matched. Then I got conditioned to explain all this. So that this understanding, which is very deep, and very few cultivators that we can teach you or share this with you, because my nature can see all this and understand all this, and we can go so much deeper into the cultivation to understand this part. Well, this part of the teaching is not in the Theravada, the intricacy of karma and all those things. What is mentioned in the Theravada tradition's teaching of karma is the very basic few things that I shared earlier, the fifth daily contemplation, then how the Buddha actually took that right view with regards to the law of karma, come out with the advice of the Buddha, and how they are linked and connected to the essential Dharma. But the working of karma, very few people go into it. Even Shenhua mentioned it, but couldn't expand on it. So I managed to expand on it. And now, we can go deeper to share all the where there are conditions to actually show you the example of how all this can happen and manifest. And we see it in life itself, or not. Reality of life and existence. Where my niece and sister family, this one also recently only that thing manifests for us to understand where there is condition. And mainly also to teach my daughter Sui, she really have the condition to develop the understanding and all those things. Then later on, she can help a lot of people. Now once she has this, then the awareness-based meditation, she will stabilize it and she will transform very fast. And all this understanding, it will help her a lot in developing the sharing and all those things. Very good, Manjun. Continue.
Yeah, sorry, but I have something to ask. I also don't know how it is like this. Like, you see, my father is quite weak after his influenza A early of the year.
Oh,
so
yeah.
He's still very weak. So then he said, maybe we boil some chicken essence for him, not to buy from the pharmacy, but actually boil it. So I go to the market, the open market, and then but you cannot just buy any chicken, you have to buy the release chicken,
and
be a small one, cannot be a big one.
Oh, okay.
Because big one, it seems that there's not much value there already.
Yeah, that's what the nutritionist will tell you. So what happened?
So then I say, like, I want this, it has to be a small one.
Uh-huh.
And then when the chicken seller heard, okay, then he shouted to the worker at the back, water one for me. Then I saw the foreign worker take one from the cage and was about to slaughter. Wow, I tell you, my face turned white. And then there's some fear in the heart, like, oh, die. I think it's going to be bad karma for me already.
Don't worry. What you can do is you read the metta and all those things and wish that chicken or that whatever living thing well and happy, and may the blessing of the Triple Gem be with you. And you vow if in the future you able to have the ability to take it across, you'll take it across. Don't worry about all these things. You out of love for your father, understand? Or? Then where can you buy this type of chicken nowadays? Even you ask your brother to go and buy, it's same, your instruction. But don't worry about all this. All this compassion, love, or if you really hold it with the understanding, it's the mindfulness that you have in your heart that understand all this and aware of all this. But like I say, in life, there's a choice, understand? Well, there are people who are willing to have this type of right, so-called livelihood. I wouldn't say right livelihood. This type of right the livelihood. They really do, like, if there is a, I don't call it a demand, if there is a buyer who want to buy this particular duck, because all this chicken that they have, they actually is already planned that they will slaughter and sell on. Whether you see or you don't see, or but you happen to choose that type like that one. That's why I ask the worker. But don't worry, must have the compassion, the love. What you go through is very natural. We are as a Buddhist cultivator in the way you have your precept. But you don't be so like rigid until you cannot. Like I say, if it's for the bigger good, I take the karma. What is it? Understand not? But I don't have the negative intention, the anger and the hatred or the evil mind to kill, understand? There is a big difference. Cause to kill, that one, because under the monk's precept, they call it the San Jing Ro. But the Buddha never insists on pure vegetarian. But he just told the monk under the precept, whatever meat that is offered, if it satisfies these three conditions, then you can take it. So in Mahayana, they say it very well. 不见杀,不闻杀,不为你杀, that is allowable meat. San Jing Ro, they call it. The three conditions, pure meat, that you can accept as offering. Means you don't see the killing, you don't perceive or hurt the killing and all those things. That is not kill for you. But that one is for monk who take the precept, where they want to maintain that type of precept, the purity. It's up to the individual, because that cultivation as a monk, you go pindapat. And these are the conditions that the Buddha has set. But for Mayuranski, it's for the father, Anasana. And it's out of love and compassion. But if there is a person, like I say, willing to do this as their livelihood, you go, you buy. Of course, there is a little bit of coming, but to me, it's very minor. Your heart is pure, your intent is pure. Anasana. You don't purposely have that negative. It's something that you need for your father and all those things. And our society is such, there are people who are willing to actually sell all this and do all this for you. And if you have the ability to afford or what, you pay. So don't worry, nothing serious. The precept is at the heart level. Your heart is beautiful, don't worry. These are minor. The worst is people who cannot see their own evil roots, don't have the mindfulness, awareness and the understanding, then they develop this manifestation of anger, hatred. That is worse, understand? In fact, that karmic is worse. But this one, out of love, compassion and philopiety for your father, and you want to really improve his health, and then you have the understanding that people tell you that type of chicken is the best. Otherwise, the vitality not there, the nutrition not there. But whatever it is, what people say may have its significance or what they call truth within. So it's up to the individual who have the understanding. So if it's meant to be, like you have to be the person who go and buy, no problem. As long as, like I said, you have compassion for the chicken and for the person who do it, even if you want to help them, you read it, for they know not what they are doing. It's a livelihood. Of course, there is some karmic, but not that severe one. It's like during the Buddha's time, I remember, somebody asked Sariputta, the executioner. Well, this executioner retired from the government. Then he met out with Sariputta. Sariputta explained why you cannot kill her. Or he said, I'm going to be doomed. I got a big problem. I'm the executor. when people sentenced to death, he had to execute. That even not wrong, I think. Something like Sariputta asking, what was your mental intention at that time when you executed? He said, I have compassion for them. I wish them. But this is my duty. Something that I do. It's a career, a livelihood. Then Sariputta knew. He said, if I'm not wrong, I think something like, don't worry. It's not serious. Because compared to actual killing in the war or what, it can be very serious. Then with hatred, with wrong view and all, that one is the mental intention behind is very serious. So this understanding can help a lot of cultivators of the way. Then like we live our life, I can tell you a very real incident. When you drive your car, especially long distance, you think you don't kill anything. On your windscreen, you know how many of these insects could have died. But like the Buddha told the monk, where the monk can see, actually, he said, ayo, he said, there are so much of this organism inside the water, until he dare not drink the water. Then the Buddha tell you, don't be foolish until, then don't drink, don't eat, what happened to you? Because these are the, what they call, understanding that one has to develop. These are basic needs that everybody receive from nature, and these organisms are lower type of life form, understand? And you don't have the intention to kill, understand? It's because when you drive with the whatever causes and conditions, sometimes rain or what, shiny weather, then your windscreen will hit against all this. But it's not your intention to kill or harm. So the karmic part is very minor, or hardly any, if there may be the case. So don't worry about all this. More important is keep the precept sincerely with understanding. Okay, Manya? Can I understand?
Yeah, thank you, Radio.
Don't have to worry about all this. This is a small thing, minor. Don't let it haunt you or make it like phobia you until you have to recall, you, this is very bad. Alicia.
Good evening, very good for you.
Yeah.
Actually, 想 share 我的一个 experience 给 大家听 so that
一起学习
当我跟我的朋友出去巴淡旅行的时候 他们都爱吃海鲜
对，然后我
being the treasurer 他们就拉着我一起去
但是呢我
我就只了几个那个 live
的螃蟹，你吃的，因为fish，不是radio，它当我一
aware now 的时候，我一只了过后哦，我知道，I shouldn't have do all this，then never mind，then 哦，我就想不要吃，但是我的 friend 哦，他就把它夹在我的盘，所以我就讲 OK 啦，just go through
没事的，但是radio真的是我从六点
就是 like diarrhea 到11点 就是
oh miss this one is to show it to you
yes it's like show it to you you have a precept you know like you know
yeah yeah yeah
so 就让我 go through then 我就很知道这个所谓的 然后 another time 我的 friend which I went to Macau she take me to the seafood market wow this time 我就没有进去了 我就 stay 在 white man 我一直 radiate like brother 就讲
yeah 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 radiate the meta even when I go to the market you know they sell chicken or something they slaughter the, I just radiate and I vow to take all this being across when there are causes and conditions arise so all this it will manifest from your heart your nature and no problem because my nature is I have this vow. I vow to take across all beings that appear as food for me. And because of that, I later on came to know, no problem. That's why I still develop the understanding and I move on. Even the six patriarch, Liu Zhu Huineng, Rou Bian Cai, he still eat. He was with the hunters for 16 years. So, of course, sometimes, according to the story, he released some of the rabbits and all those things. But whatever it is, he was with the cook. So the cook will do the killing and he just helped to prepare the dish. Then he take only the veggie part, he don't take the meat. But Rou Bian Cai, understand? But more important is your cultivation. When you understand, that's why different time of cultivation, you do different things. Like I said, when you are going through the training, the monk's precept or what, then for your case, at least here is because I think there are something to do with your karmic, your food intake and all those things and the understanding. That's why it show it to you. So you will go through all this phase. Then later on, as you evolve further, you have different type of understanding and additional vow or miscellaneous vow that will let you develop better understanding to go through all this. So it's beautiful. Good sharing, Sadhu. 还有什么啊?
Yeah, 就是你说的，当我那个我没有去那个 market 那边，我在 redeem metta 和我的慈悲心起来的时候，然后过后我吃的就没有问题啊，没有问题，好的，啊，它就是完全没有问题。Yeah,
no problem. Yeah,
分享这个还有就是，我从 vegetarian go back to 吃荤，就是因为我明白到你不要给人家起烦恼，有时候
对对对对。
好的修行这样，所以就是我这个想分享的，然后满愿可以接下去。 Sadhu Bradio
感恩，Sadhu 感恩，Let us rejoice. Sadhu, Sadhu, Sadhu. Very good. It's always remember. It's not what you eat that make you pure. But your mental intention behind what you do is very important. That's why the Buddha say it's cittena that I call karma. Remember that word. Cittena is mental intention. The severity of the karmic is the mental intention behind. Whether it's compassion, love, or hatred, or anger, or delusion. That one very important. If you have understanding, so what? Don't have to worry. Even if there is some very slight karmic or what. For me, I say, never mind, I take it on behalf of the rest. Then I will make sure it's done properly. Like the example I gave last time, the daughter-in-law got problem with the father-in-law that want to order live fish or not. Then you try to tell them, hey, I Buddhist, you know, I keep this precept. I tell you, your father-in-law and your mother-in-law, they may not be so understanding as to understand what are you doing there. To them, they will tell you, you are just a daughter-in-law, what are you trying to preach to me? But in real life, resolving amicably means what? If they are your in-law and they want to eat, so what? They need to order lah, take the karmic a bit lah. But make sure everything is with understanding, harmony. It's not that you kill your whole entire existence gone. No, before you know the Dhamma, most of us also kill. When I young, I also kill mosquito. But there are a lot of things I cannot kill. My mother asked me to drown the rat, I cannot. I cannot, a lot of things I cannot. But minor things, sometimes you still do. But when you understand already from that moment onward, you keep your precept and you never violate them. That is beautiful. That is beautiful. That's why precept shine, the virtue, very powerful. The precept really is like a light in your nature. That one protect you and shine from and become very. That's why cultivator of the way who keep their precept well, they have a type of radiant that is so beautiful. Okay, now Manya, you summarize.
I just want to say that, you know, during those two times, I also radiated and pray for whoever that died, you know,
Yeah,
who
yeah,
is
yeah.
hoping that
Sadhu.
they will have
Very good.
the
That
person
is what
died
you
to
need.
be respected.
A kind heart, a compassionate heart that have the understanding. And don't worry about that small effect. You don't go and let the thought tell you, "Yo, I'm a cultivator. No, I hold on to that precept. I cannot." No such thing. Before we know the Dhamma, we also kill and break. These are minor understanding. You don't have the hatred, the aversion, and all those things. Of course, when you smash the mosquito, you suddenly you just smash like a giant smashing a very small one. That type of fear you will experience, you will awaken away. But take it what is that? Understand? These are not life and death thing. But sometimes if you kill too many with that type of violence, you may end up just like the plane crash or what. You all the passenger like mosquito palms. So all this is part and parcel of the what they call karmic law. So don't have to worry. Your mental intention most important. Okay, Maya.
Yeah, okay. Thank you, Radio.
Sadhu. Let us rejoice. Sadhu. 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 Okay, let us share merits. Akasatta cha bhumata devanaga mahindika punyang tang anumoditva chirang rakkhantu lokasasana etavata chamehi sampadan punya sampadan sabbe deva anumodantu sabbasampati siddhiya idang me nyatinang hotu sukhita hontu nyatayo Idang me nyatinang hotu sukhita hontu nyatayo. Idang me nyatinang hotu sukhita hontu nyatayo. Devo asatukalena sasasampati hetoce. Vito bhavatu lokoce. Raja bhavatu dhammiko. Imina punyang kamena. Māme bāla samāgamo, sattāṃ samāgamo hotu, yāvā nivāna pātiyā, sādhu, sādhu, sādhu. Okay, you can now pay respect mindfully the Lord Buddha, Kuan Yin Bodhisattva, and all the worthy ones. Then we end the whole session. Sādhu, thank you.